from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. The Millionaire Maker, Hillary Kramer, Travel with Valerie Delia, Nicole Sapphire, MD, Senior Medical Contributor to Fox News Channel, and Physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering Medical Center. Legal expertise by Arthur Idala, Attorney to the Stars, and Christine Nicholas, the quintessential heartbeat of New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York. And now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, so glad to have you with us. Thank you, Lonnie Perkins. What a big Wednesday night we've got ahead for you. There are some major stories, and unfortunately tonight, friends, it's all about the COVID. Although if you have questions, and our apologies, last Wednesday on Wellness Night, we had callers ready to go, and we didn't take them. It was my fault. I didn't see the call screen board. I totally blame me, please. The phone lines are open tonight, 877-970-2999, 877-970-2999. Dr. Nicole Sapphire is back, and a little update. You're making it okay with the shoulder. You had the second update there, and you're out playing with the kids, and I'm guessing you're getting some work done as well. But how are you tonight, Nicole?
Well, thank you for asking. Yeah, unfortunately, I had to have my second shoulder surgery last Thursday. This is all from a fall down my staircase a couple days before Christmas. Kind of beat myself up a bit. But, you know, as someone who delivers a cancer diagnosis just about every day, it keeps things in perspective. This is a shoulder and I am on the road to recovery. So it kind of sucks right now, but I'm going to be just fine.
And did you think that they had gotten it the first time, but there was something else that popped up, or was this expected from the beginning?
Well, it's a bit of a mix. So, I mean, I destroyed my shoulder when I fell down the stairs. And when we went to surgery, there was even more damage that he found at surgery than we even thought. And he was concerned if he fixed everything, it would actually fuse my joint, because essentially everything needed to be fixed. My biceps, my rotator cuff, my pec, my labrum, my capsule, anything. But so he fixed everything that he thought would be enough to stabilize the shoulder. And so through rehab, we thought it would get stronger and be able. But after 8 weeks in the sling, when I came out, I started doing physical therapy. It was quite obvious there was still instability. So back we went. Obviously, that was a letdown, kind of affects your mental health a little bit, but onward and upward.
But they've got they went back in there, and hopefully this will get her done.
That's right. And, you know, you did say that tonight is all about COVID, but let me tell you something. This has been an interesting week when it has come to COVID, because all of a sudden, there's just a lot of new news. It's not just the same rigmarole of, all right, this many vaccines, this many cases. There's a lot of new things that have come out this week.
Well, one of the things that caught my eye, and I immediately shot it over to you because I thought there's just no way this can be true. And yes, friends, we've got a lot we're going to talk about. The J&J prohibition has been lifted. They're going to start delivering that vaccine again. We've got some stuff on nutrition and vaccinations and so forth. But the big outbreak in India, we're going to cover that. But Dr. Sapphire, I got to start with this. Millions of people, including a whole bunch of people here in New York, are skipping their second doses of the two-part vaccines. They're getting the Moderna or the Pfizer, the initial one, and then they're not showing up for their second. Now, what's the good and the bad about all of this, and is there any good to it at all?
Well, you know, you and I were talking earlier, and you asked if these are the same people who start antibiotics and then quit halfway through their pack as soon as they start feeling better. And the answer is, well, we don't really know why people aren't going for their second dose. A part of it could be because more people are reporting side effects after that second dose. But here's the thing. Those side effects that people are reporting, that just means that they're creating a great immune response. And it's that immune response that's providing the immunity. So if the whole goal from getting this vaccine is limiting your chance of getting COVID-19 and spreading the virus to other people by not going and getting that second shot, we don't really know how effective it is. Yes, we know real world data shows us there is some immunity after that first dose. But all the clinical trials thus far have been with the two doses. So we know for certain two doses is absolutely better than one. If you've gotten that first dose, I really recommend you go get the second dose. It's not a supply issue anymore. It's about people getting the strongest immunity possible. So
right.
Please go get that second dose.
So let me ask you something that someone asked me, and I said, I don't know, but I'll ask Dr. Sapphire on Wednesday. And that is, are the two-part vaccines, are they identical in their first and second dosage in terms of the medicines delivered, or are they different based on which dosage it is?
So they are actually the exact same. Now, if you think of it in terms of allergic reactions, when people are first exposed to something, say you're allergic to bees, usually that first bee sting, you just get a strong reaction in terms of a big welt or a rash. It's the second bee sting you really worry about, where someone could have that anaphylactic reaction and not be able to breathe. It's a similar concept when it comes to the vaccine. That first exposure to the protein creates the initial response. Then you're exposed again and you create an even stronger response, which is why these vaccines have been so great and with such an incredible ability to produce over 90% efficacy in an antibody response.
Right. And so does the Johnson & Johnson version that is now going to be allowed back on the market, does that operate differently, or is it just more potent from the beginning? How come the technology is different in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
So Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca are kind of in the same group, whereas Pfizer and Moderna are in the same group. The Pfizer and Moderna use an mRNA technology. And now I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this before, but essentially those vaccines carry instructions for making the spike protein. And so when you put that into a person, the person's body reads that genetic material, makes the spike protein, and then has an immune response to it. This is novel when it comes to human vaccines. It's an incredible Right. technology that's been studied for decades, but this is the first successful one that we have found. The Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca work completely differently. They use an attenuated adenovirus, which is just another virus that circulates. But what they do is they make it so the virus cannot replicate. And they attach a little piece of that spike protein from SARS-CoV-2 onto the adenovirus. And so the body then responds to that. It doesn't necessarily need that two-prong injection because it produces a strong enough response in just that one setting.
Wow. Well, I knew that the Moderna and Pfizer were a new technology in terms of what we were doing, but I hope that explains it for listeners very, very well. But friends, basically the bottom line is this, millions of you skipping your second doses, this is not good. And Dr. Sapphire, is there a danger in not doing so, similar to what we do with antibiotics, where if we only take a little bit, you know, we start getting more antibiotic resistant mechanisms, then is there a danger that this will cause the virus to do something similar here if we don't get fully vaccinated?
Well, my concern is that people who go and get their first injection, yes, they do have some immunity. We don't know how strong it'll be, and we don't know how long it'll last because we don't have clinical trial data on that single dose.
Right.
But people will be going around thinking that they have more immunity than perhaps they actually do. Hmm. And with that, they're able to contract the virus. And as the virus continues to circulate, that is when variants are produced. So we vaccinate the elderly Aha. and older Americans to
Okay,
save
hold that
lives.
Thought, Dr. Sapphire. The music's almost out. That means we're almost there. Coming right back. It's Wellness Night. Stay with us.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa. Tune in, iHeart, or radio.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. We love to give you a firsthand response from a very real question from a very real person to the very real Mike Connors of Connors and Sullivan every single very real week. Mike, this week's question comes from Alexa. She's from Sunset Park. She said, do I have to open a probate case after mother's death? She had very little. I don't understand the point. Also, who needs to be notified beyond the obvious, like banks and insurance? Signed, Alexa. Mike Connors.
Well, the point is, if you don't have somebody's name on your accounts, it goes through court, it goes through probate. If you don't have a will, it goes through court administration. So that's the point, because how else do they know? How does the bank know who to pay it over to? But, and who has to be notified? Each person who's your next of kin by law has to be notified. So if you have children, all of your children, if one of your children passed away, grandchildren, if you don't have children, grandchildren, you're not married, you know, your brothers and sisters, nephews and nieces, whatever. In some cases, a lot of people have to be notified. That's why you want to avoid probate. You avoid probate by having somebody else's name on the accounts.
And that's something that you can establish long before the terrible day comes. And friends, take care of it now. In fact, call Connors and Sullivan and ask them all about probate, all about trusts, all about getting everything put in place so that you've planned properly when that moment comes. Here's the number, 718-238-6500. They have offices conveniently located in five locations throughout the tri-state. You should call them. 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. And be listening as Mike Connors answers more of your questions on his own broadcast, Ask the Lawyer, on AM 570 and FM 102.3 The Mission, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. and Sunday mornings at 11 on AM 970 The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ed Sauvin from ProCure Proton Therapy Center located in Somerset, New Jersey. You may be surprised to know that one in seven men will experience a prostate cancer diagnosis in their life. One in seven. So if you or a friend or family member are facing prostate cancer, make sure you do your homework before choosing a treatment strategy to understand that in most cases, invasive surgery is not the only option. ProCure's proton therapy offers a customized, safe, and effective treatment option with an exceptional patient experience and no downtime. For more information or take a next step, please visit www.procure.com or call 855-3-PROTON, 855-3-PROTON. Let me or one of my colleagues help you make the right decision. Discover the ProCure difference. Precision therapy, passionate care.
Take AM 970 The Answer anywhere you go with our mobile app. Get in on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com. Let's face it, we love Alexa, and we love to let her find your favorite radio station. This one, of course. We love it, too, when she finds us. But she could find us easier if we taught her a simple skill. To get started, simply say,
Alexa, enable the Answer New York skill.
After she confirms, you can then say,
Alexa, play the Answer New York.
That's all you have to do, and Alexa will learn how to find us. You can listen to us through your Amazon Echo, Echo Show, Echo Dot, and Amazon Tap devices. Alexa, what is your favorite radio station?
That's easy. AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM97TheAnswer.com.
You can't sleep, you can't eat. There's no doubt you're in deep.
Radio Night Live from New York. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Another kiss is all you need.
All right, so coming up after this segment, we're going to throw open the phone lines. And if you had questions last week, if you've got them this week, and you want to get yours aired and heard and answered by the one and only Nicole Sapphire, author of the brand new book, Panic Attack. And the entire story of COVID, how it's been dealt with, how it was politicized, what we need to do to get back to good health in terms of policy around it, etc. You want to get a copy of that. I'm encouraging you to go and pre-order your book now. But Dr. Sapphire, you wanted to finish up your thought on the production of the variants, that if we under vaccinate, which on the Moderna and Pfizer side is possible if they don't get their second, that it is a potential breeding ground for variant development, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. And what I want to make sure that people understand is we vaccinate the elderly and older Americans or older people to save the most lives because they're the most vulnerable and to keep our hospitals functioning. But the reason it is essential to also vaccinate younger, healthier Americans, adults, as well as adolescents, is because by keeping that viral transmission low, that's how we prevent these variants from circulating. If the virus continues to circulate, we're going to have more and more variants, which are going to at some point escape our immunity, and we're going to go through this all over again. So the only way to truly nip this in the bud is to get as many people vaccinated as possible.
Yeah. All right. So that's the kind of button on the cupcake there for millions skipping their second doses. The other huge story this week is the outbreak in India as it relates to COVID-19. Every day this week, as a matter of fact, they've had more than 300,000 new infections. And they've had, I think, in excess of 1,000 deaths or more of those same 5 days as well. And Dr. Sapphire, when you look at the rest of the globe, they kind of seem to be, you know, not having these types of problems. What is unique about India right now that they're experiencing this kind of explosion again?
Well, it's devastating what's going on. And India has just suffered its worst day yet of the pandemic, as both new cases and death are breaking prior records, and their crematoriums are actually overloaded. It's similar to what happened in China and Italy and even the United States last March. There are several reasons as to why this is happening. It's not just one single reason. India had a very strict lockdown early on, just like the rest, from March to end of May. But unfortunately, they became quite lax over the last few months, allowing mass gatherings, mass congregating indoors without people wearing face masks. And unfortunately, this has led to super spreading events and has created the cases that are happening right now. And India is suffering. Their healthcare system was not necessarily the most robust going into it. And now they're suffering from lack of equipment such as oxygen, ventilators. And while their vaccination efforts have been good, they are still not great. They fall behind the United States in per population people being vaccinated. So unfortunately, they've just got themselves caught in between a rock and a hard place.
Well, it seems like most of the rest of the world is trying to get them additional oxygen and vaccines and everything else, but they just have so many more people. It's, you know, per capita. So it's going to be a tough go. What's the most important thing for them to do, do you feel like, from a public health perspective, to get hold of this?
To be honest, right now, what they need to do is, although I don't support prolonged lockdowns, they need to keep people from congregating right now, and they need to maximize their vaccine efforts. They need to open up the doors and vaccinate every single person who is willing to get a vaccine, because by developing that immunity, that is the only thing at this point that is truly going to help them lessen the spread.
Right. President Biden, and people listening know I'm no real fan of his, yesterday said that not only are we sending vaccines from the U.S., which I think is a good move, but we're also sending them the technology to build vaccines on site. And so to your point, maybe their health system not as robust, not as stable. They don't even have the capacity to be making the vaccines independently on their own. Surely us sending some are going to help, but them being able to make them themselves is going to be even faster.
No, absolutely. And I'll tell you, though, the Biden administration has gotten some criticism by myself, as well as many of my public health colleagues, because they've been quite delayed. We've been sitting on tens of millions of doses of AstraZeneca that could have been shipped out weeks ago, and they have not done that. Rather,
we're not using them here, are we?
No, we're not. AstraZeneca is not approved in the United States yet. And so while we secured tens of millions of doses under the Trump administration, he secured them in anticipation of when they get approved. At this point, we have enough supply when it comes to Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. We won't even likely need AstraZeneca. So why aren't we just shipping them out to countries in need? I don't know. And I'm glad to hear that the Biden administration is finally doing that, but they were more focused on sending equipment and for them to be able to produce the vaccine. But let me tell you, it takes months to produce the vaccine. Oh. India doesn't have months. India needs those vaccines, and they need them right now. They needed them several weeks ago.
Well, and if we have tens of millions sitting there that we're not using, it certainly doesn't make good sense. Now, is the AstraZeneca stable enough that we don't have to have the super cold temperatures to send it? Is it like the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in that regard?
Yes, that is absolutely why. And the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson are much less costly to develop and distribute, which is why they are key to helping administer vaccines across the globe, especially in the countries that have less money than, say, the United States.
All right. Very interesting. And we're going to hope and pray that India can get its help. And by the way, it's not just the U.S. that's helping. A lot of countries across the world are sending, huge containers of oxygen and other things that they need. I also read somewhere, Dr. Sapphire, that both hydroxychloroquine and remdesivir were in extremely low supply in India, and that they had actually had a ban on one or both for a period of time. And we're also, I guess, sending loads of therapeutics over there to kind of bolster their lack of inventory on that. Do you know if that's true?
Yes. So the Biden administration is also sending remdesivir, which, as we know, remdesivir, while it is proven to be effective in very specific cases of people being hospitalized if given early. It's certainly not a silver bullet. India, since the inception, has been utilizing hydroxychloroquine in some of its treatment protocols, given the known antiviral effect. Again, the data on whether or not that works in certain settings is still inconclusive. But when you have people dying every day and they're dying in the streets and they're dying in the hallways, you throw the sink at them. So Right. We're sending everything and anything we possibly can.
Plasma, HCQ, remdesivir, vaccines, get them all. Help as many as we can. All right. I want to ask a little bit more when we come back about the CDC updated guidance for Americans this week. You may have noticed they made a statement yesterday. I'll get Dr. Sapphire's reaction to that. And also the lifting of the ban on J&J, Johnson & Johnson, back in circulation in the U.S. And, of course, we've got some doctor's orders coming up, and we'll take your calls, 877-970-2999. It's Wellness Night on Radio Night Live. Stay with us. All right, Kevin McCullough, I've got another update for you from our friends at Michael's of Brooklyn. They are officially now operating at 50% capacity and by reservation. They are following all the CDC guidelines to ensure the safety and health of their patrons and employees. Now, you've heard me talk about Michael's before, Michael's of Brooklyn, for a while. I've been raving about how good their food is. They're right over on Avenue R in Nostrand and have been in business since 1964. If you somehow have not been to this amazing establishment, it's time now. So make yourself a reservation today. They're family owned and operated, and I will tell you, authenticity comes through on every dish. Everything they put on the plate in front of you, it is just drop-dead delicious. Everything is made completely from scratch, even their world-famous sauce, and they make it right there on campus. Their puttanesca, marinara, tomato and basil, the arrabbiata. It's all fresh, delicious, and absolutely the best you'll find anywhere. Now you can finally head back to Michael's for that homemade Italian cooking, just like Mama used to make. So call 718-998-7851 to make a reservation today. That's 718-998-7851. Michael's of Brooklyn, the only place for authentic Italian since 1964.
If you're in pain, you want out of pain. Of course you do. But guess what? People you know and love would like to see you out of pain too. Larry Elder here. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, tell me whole families can be helped when one of the family gets out of pain. Back to having fun together, walking, hiking, traveling, or here's one, sleeping through the night without waking up your mate. Everyone wins when you get out of pain, which is exactly why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. And after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, and even everyday living can create pain. But don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your friends and your family. They miss the old you. LOL. The 3-week quick start at relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM970, The Answer.
We have partly to mostly cloudy skies on this Wednesday evening at 73 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. Well, sources tell NBC News that Rudy Giuliani willingly handed over all electronic devices when the FBI executed a search warrant at his Manhattan home this morning. Let's get more from Sarah Lee Kessler.
Giuliani's doorman apparently escorted the FBI agents to the former New York City mayor's apartment. Giuliani reportedly turned over a cell phone, an iPad, and a laptop. Word is FBI agents were at the apartment for about 45 minutes. An NBC source saying the conversation was cordial. The FBI searched Giuliani's office, too. The search warrant's part of a criminal investigation into Giuliani's dealings in Ukraine while he was President Trump's personal lawyer. Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio, New York.
A New York City comptroller and candidate for mayor Scott Stringer says he had a consensual relationship with the woman accusing him of sexual misconduct. Let's get more from James Lippin.
Jean Kim says Stringer groped her and repeatedly attempted to convince her to have sex with him back in 2001 when he was running for public advocate.
And demanded to know why I wouldn't have sex with him.
Stringer denies the claim that she was an intern, describing her as a volunteer, and he says they did have a relationship for several months.
I don't talk that way. That's not the language I use. And I didn't use that language ever with Gene.
Stringer's wife, Elise, stood by his side during the comments. James Flippin, NBC News Radio, New York.
Thank you, James. Taking a look at your ride across the Hudson, inbound Lincoln Tunnel, not bad at the toll plaza, but pretty slow on 495 traveling eastbound towards Pleasant Avenue. There's an accident being cleared, so it's about a 15-minute delay. Holland Tunnel, about 15 minutes from 1 and 9, no delay from the turnpike approach. GW Bridge, you're okay. Mostly cloudy tonight, chance of a shower or a thunderstorm, overnight low 62. Showers likely tomorrow, especially in the afternoon, high 70. And now you know what's going on. I'm Mike Barker, AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970, The Answer. And now, back to Radio Night Live from New York. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Indeed, and on Wednesdays, we like to talk about wellness, and we try to do things that are helpful to you in your pursuit of that goal. We've talked a lot about COVID tonight. We will continue to give you some updated information on that. But last week, there were those of you that wanted to get on the show. You had questions. You had you had called in, and we had a technical difficulty. I wasn't able to see the callers. I didn't know you were on hold. I didn't ignore you on purpose, and I feel so bad about that. So if you want to get your question on the air tonight, Dr. Sapphire is here. She is ready and willing to help you with those answers as best she can. But Dr. Sapphire, oh, by the way, if you want to call 877-970-2999, 877-970-2999, 877-970-2999. But Dr. Sapphire, the news yesterday, and I don't know, color me a little bit skeptical, but everybody was like, hey, big announcement, the CDC's changed its guidance, and you thought, oh man, we landed on the moon or something, and then you found out that it was not, kind of anticlimactic. But what was the CDC news, and how big of a deal was it?
Well, this week was full of anticlimactic CDC news. First, earlier in the week, they came out with their recommendations for summer camps for children, which, you know, I agree with them. They said, hey, let's make sure the activities are outside as much as possible. And let's also try to keep kids in cohorts just in case there's an outbreak. You have fewer people who have the potential to be exposed. I'm like, great. I absolutely agree with that. And then they're like, and by the way, let's make sure kids are wearing masks. Every child over the age of 2 are wearing masks, regardless of their inside or outside, regardless if they're over 6 feet away from other people. Masks at all times, except if they're swimming, napping, or eating. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on a second. That makes absolutely no sense. First of all, the CDC is the only entity in the world that actually recommends children over the age of 2 should be wearing face masks, let alone wear them outside while they're greater than 6 feet away from other people. There is no data on that. Then the CDC comes out yesterday saying, good news, we're ready to liberate the vaccinated. This is what you can do. Not only can the vaccinated, but the unvaccinated can now ride their bikes, go walking by themselves, and walk their dogs without a mask on. And we're all like scratching our heads like,
right. I've been doing that for a year.
No, we know. Thank you. Thank you for that information. We've been doing that for a while. But then they said, and if you're vaccinated, you can actually go to outdoor dining and you can gather outdoors with other vaccinated people. And it's like, well, hold on a second. By the way, the majority of people who have been unvaccinated have also been doing outdoor dining and have been doing small outdoor gatherings. And that has had negligible contribution to the viral transmission. So they came back with nothing. Everything else they said, vaccinated, you still need a mask for. You go inside, are you around anyone who's not vaccinated, you have to have a mask. It was very disappointing. And again, it gives zero incentivization for people to actually go and get the vaccine because they're not giving any sort of liberation if you've been vaccinated. And that's incredibly frustrated for people out there trying to encourage people to go and get vaccinated.
Yeah, and you cover a lot of this in your new book, Panic Attack, Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID-19. Doc, let me ask you this question. I had former Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCoy, who has done a lot of research on a lot of things related to health care. She was kind of the foremost expert on Obamacare and kind of the problems with that legislation. But she's been really
very, very attentive to what the CDC and the guidance that's been given via the COVID-19 crisis. And she said to me on my earlier hour today, she said, Kevin, the truth is the CDC could have said that if you've been vaccinated, you are safe to eat indoors without restrictions on your, you know, without a mask. You're safe to do things that otherwise you weren't able to do for the last year. And the fact that they are only taking this tiny little impish, you know, step is really, is what you were just saying, not very helpful. But is that true? If we're vaccinated, are we more or less ready to go back indoors with, you know, normal activity in terms of life?
Listen, nothing we do is going to get us to zero risk of contracting SARS-CoV-2. Not getting vaccinated, not wearing 17 layers of face masks. The only thing that's really going to do is if you sit in a room by yourself and you never come in contact with anybody else.
But then you'll die of other problems.
Right. That's not practical. So the whole goal right now is risk mitigation. What can you do to decrease your risk the most and still live your life? And that would be getting vaccinated. As we have shown, these vaccines can prevent over 90% of symptomatic and asymptomatic disease.
Right.
So yes, the safest thing you could possibly do right now is go get vaccinated and live your life. Your risk is not zero for getting COVID-19, but you have just drastically reduced it. And now you're able to get going with your life again. And the CDC is really missing the mark on telling people that they can get moving. And this is the path towards it. Back to normal.
Nicole Sapphire is her name. She is an attending physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering. And Nicole, I've noticed that the CDC has had kind of wildly contradictory positions on many things for much of the last year. So how seriously does the average consumer end up paying attention to them when they are back and forth on things in different, you know, kind of different extremes of the same subject? But then when they even come out with something like this that you think, oh, they're going to tell us really something great, and then it turns out to be not much of anything.
Well, so listen, if we rewind the clock to a year ago, when we have a novel virus that we had very little information on, and the only information we did have was coming out of China, and then we realized China was not very forthcoming, and a lot of the information was misinformation. So we didn't know. And so, yes, they were overprotective at that time. And so it makes sense that recommendations have changed. The CDC, unfortunately, has been very delayed in updating their recommendations as the data, as the science has all come in. While I forgive a lot that happened in the first 3 to 6 months of the pandemic, what's going on now is a tragedy. They have the potential to be the beacon of light to really give us the data, and they're not doing that. And just today, this week, they were dichotomous in their recommendations. They're saying unvaccinated people can go walking outside by themselves without a mask on, but yet they're saying children at a summer camp, even if they're more than 6 feet away from other children, have to still wear a mask.
That's
what
crazy.
Sense is that? The data tells us children are less susceptible. They're less likely to be infected and less likely to transmit the virus, but yet they have to wear masks. Don't they realize that facial recognition and the ability to look at expressions on faces is fundamental to childhood development? They are not taking into account what is best for people at this point. Their only concern is, I don't even know. It would seem that their only concern is eradicating the virus, but it's not even backed by science at this point.
Well, we will continue this conversation, and maybe you've got comments or questions. 877-970-2999. The phone lines are open, and I will see you this time. 877-970-2999. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again, introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 800-651-0798 and use the promo code AM970, or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listeners square, and use promo code AM970. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, my favorite, and MyPillow towel sets. Call 800-651-0798 and use the promo code AM970.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers, making buying decisions right now and for the future. Will they consider or even know about you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at SurroundNewYork.com. SurroundNewYork.com, connecting you with new customers.
Listen to AM 970, The Answer, on Alexa. Tune in, iHeart, or radio.com. Dennis Prager wants to set the record straight.
It's important to understand this is all a manufactured issue. There is no widespread police racist murdering the blacks. So the entire reason for this transfixing the country is an enormous, gigantic, unprecedented lie in American history.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
This is Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com for Town Hall. Why would a high-ranking American diplomat alert an Iranian government official about Israeli covert actions? In a leaked recording between Mohammad Javad Zarif and a political ally, the foreign minister revealed that John Kerry personally informed him that Israel was behind over 200 attacks on its military forces and proxies in Syria. Zarif professed astonishment at Kerry's tip-off. No doubt the Israelis are astonished at this as well, and all Americans should feel the same way. After years of unfounded accusations about Republican collusion with Russia, we now hear of a prominent member of two Democratic administrations sharing intelligence about our allies' covert operations with a regime that regularly holds Death to America rallies in its capital. The Biden administration needs to explain Kerry's actions immediately, especially while pursuing pointless negotiations with a puppet government in Tehran. I'm Ed Morrissey.
Publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. Did you listen to our podcasts? Hear them now on our website at am970theanswer.com.
Ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
It's Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough. Ooh,
it's good that the Hot Sardines bumper got moved to this segment of the show because you can't really see the moon right now until about now. So it's, you know, during the winter months it would be much earlier. But, yeah, a little moonlight, little Hot Sardines. It's a little Radio Night Live for you, and it's Wellness Night, Wellness Wednesday. And I just saw something online that I'm going to brag on Nicole about, and you do not want to miss this. You've heard of these things called live signings. Well, she has one coming up. You know, her new book comes out on May 25th, but on May the 27th, she's doing one, and that's where you can log in, buy the book. I think, Nicole, you can even customize it to the person that calls at the time, can't you, for the signature?
Yeah, I can. Wait, where did you see that online?
That's on Premier Collectibles, the only ones that do this stuff, and they were very kind in two of my titles, and did nice work for me. But this is exciting. May 27th, she'll be sitting for a live signing. If you didn't know that, Doc, I'm glad to bring
it
to
your
attention.
You know, I knew I was doing it, but you don't know who I'm doing it with. I guess I'm just going to announce it on here. I'll
cool.
tell you who I'm doing it with. I am very good friends. For anybody who watches Fox News,
I'm going to guess.
Jillian Mealy, you have to be a very early bird to catch her.
Yeah.
She does Fox and Friends first from 4 to 6 a.m., and then she does headlines on Fox and Friends 6 to 9 a.m. Good, good friend of mine, and she is doing me the honor of hosting the live signing. It's going to be a blast.
That's very cool. We have done several authors of those signings at the Salem Studios here in New York. I'm sure yours will be at the Fox location, but congrats again on the book. I think it's going to be a huge bestseller, because Nicole, I think you've tapped into something with even what we were just talking about before the break. You expressed a bit of frustration that the CDC doesn't really, their motives don't appear to be very clear here. And I think the natural tendency for people, and this is me and my years of political news talk coming out at this moment, but I think that people naturally assumed there were politics played, and sometimes people suffered because those politics were invoked. And I can't wait to read your book. I know that people are going to learn a lot when they do get into it. So, again, that's on May 27th at 6 p.m., and you'll be watching Nicole's social media for the time and place where you can make sure you're tuned in properly to get that. But she'll be able to sign the book, I believe, customize it, personalize it, and make sure that you get it. And if you want to know more information about that, you can go to the premiercollectibles.com website and find out more about it for yourself. Now, let me ask you this, Nicole, because we've got another headline that happened this week that we haven't yet covered. And again, we were all COVID tonight. But not only did the CDC lift guidance, there was a ban that was lifted against Johnson & Johnson. For people that kind of wondered why did they even put a ban on it in the first place, I guess there's some of them are saying this is a little, you know, long coming here. But what does it mean? How does it impact the picture of what we're trying to do to get herd immunity here in the U.S.?
Well, let me tell you, you know, I have real mixed feelings about this pause. First of all, I agree with the fact that they paused. I don't agree with how long that pause lasted. So Johnson & Johnson, that single dose shot, that's really a game changer. If we are able to start immunizing people with just a single shot, that really helps us quickly get to that magical herd immunity that we're really working towards. Now, when it comes to Johnson & Johnson, out of the nearly 8 million doses that have been given in the United States, after doing some searching, there have been about 15 cases of blood clots, but they're not just any blood clots. I mean, blood clots are actually extremely common, especially in women. These are very specific blood clots that also came with low platelet levels. And unfortunately, when you get these together, it's much different to treat. And so the whole purpose of their pause was the one they wanted to see, you know, did they really think that these were being caused by the vaccine? You know, were there anything in common when it came to the women who got this? And they also wanted to make sure that they were able to collect enough information about how to identify it and treat it so that they could educate physicians on it in case they are encountered with it. Now, unfortunately, this is all being played out in the eye of public opinion.
Sure.
And so when we already had existing vaccine hesitancy, I think that just increased it even more. This stuff happens all the time, where there are adverse reactions all the time, not just to vaccines, but to everything over the counter that you buy every day. Tylenol, Motrin, anything you can think of buying, there has been an adverse reaction to. You just haven't heard about it. Everything is so publicized when it comes to COVID-19 that you're hearing about it. And unfortunately, this has truly, truly, truly caused a detriment and worsened our vaccine hesitancy. As you mentioned, the CDC has now lifted its pause because it has deemed that the benefits far outweigh very, very rare risk when it comes to this vaccine. But in my opinion, the damage has been done.
I was trying to do the math in my head, Nicole, in 15 cases out of 8 million, that seems to be like if you take that to an actuary and they try to run some sort of algorithm on it, that's almost so low that it's not going to even register. I mean, technically a percentage of less than, you know, a tenth of a percent or something like that.
If you were that person who was so afraid of taking any risk in your life, you would never walk outside of your door because
right.
You're more likely to get hit by a falling object, or you certainly wouldn't get in your car because you are infinitely more likely to get in a car accident than to get this adverse effect from these vaccines.
I'm just wondering, did they have more people even maybe contract COVID than have the blood clots? Because we do know that there are some, you know, instances of breakthrough. People get the virus anyway, even when they've been vaccinated. I just wondered how the percentages compare to other adverse reactions that may be out there. Did any of the 15 women die? Are we aware?
One has been confirmed who did die. I think another one is in critical condition. Last that I heard. You know, but this begs the question, you know, who should be getting this vaccine then? In Europe, Their review said that women under the age of 50, if another vaccine is available, they should consider getting another vaccine. The United States did not put forth that recommendation. But again, you know, I can tell you that looking at this data, this vaccine is extremely safe for the far majority of people who get it, and blood clots The risk of getting a blood clot when you have COVID-19 is about 20% if you're hospitalized. If you have to be in the ICU, that risk goes up to 30% of getting a blood clot. So now we're going from that 0.00000001% from getting it from the vaccine to 30% if you are in the ICU with COVID-19. I mean, we really have to talk about weighing risk versus benefits here.
Well, and of course, we mourn the couple of women that lost their lives, but we want to see the most good done, and that's what you're pointing out there. Well, I appreciate the update on that, and that certainly makes a lot more sense. And friends, this is why we do Wellness Wednesday. We want you to have this information as we kind of break down the news in medicine. And of course, in the last year, COVID has sucked all the oxygen out of the room, no pun intended, on that news front. So that's the breaking news for tonight. Now, when we come back, there are a set of doctor's orders, and we will get to them with Dr. Nicole Sapphire when we continue.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ed Sofen from Procure Proton Therapy Center, located in Somerset, New Jersey. You may be surprised to know that 1 in 7 men will experience a prostate cancer diagnosis in their life. 1 in 7. So if you or a friend or family member are facing prostate cancer, make sure you do your homework before choosing a treatment strategy to understand that in most cases, invasive surgery is not the only option. ProCure's proton therapy offers a customized, safe, and effective treatment option with an exceptional patient experience and no downtime. For more information or take a next step, please visit www.procure.com or call 855-3-PROTON, 855-3-PROTON. Let me or one of my colleagues help you make the right decision. Discover the ProCure difference, precision therapy, passionate care.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the 4 best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients, that each help your body deal with inflammation. Each of the 4 ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's right there, approaching from 4 different angles, may very well be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you have back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start, discounted to only $19.95, to see if it'll work for you. I think it could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. This is Dennis Prager along with fellow host Mike Gallagher. We both want to invite you to join us for the trip of a lifetime to the Holy Land this October. I personally can't get enough of the great state of Israel and its historical significance. Join us to be amazed and inspired.
Dennis and I have planned out every minute of this trip in detail with Salem Media Group and our trusted travel partner, Inspiration Cruises and Tours. You'll have the best experience imaginable. We're confident by October our trip will be safe. So register today worry-free until July 6th with no cancellation fees.
We'll sail on the Sea of Galilee in boats that are replicas of the ones Jesus sailed in with his disciples. Experience unforgettable cuisine and join us for an authentic Sabbath service.
It's something you'll never forget. Go to standwithisraeltour.com to register or call 855-565-5519. That's standwithisraeltour.com. Book worry-free until July 6th.
Take AM 970 The Answer anywhere you go with our mobile app. Get in on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Larry Elder is next on AM 970, The Answer.
Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
Thank you so much, Lonnie Perkins, and thank you, friends, for listening and being with us tonight. We always appreciate it, and we would love for you to stay in touch with us. Follow Nicole Sapphire on Twitter. She is a great follow. She's constantly updating things that not only she's writing about in places like the Wall Street Journal and Fox News, but also other things that she finds and helps break down. One of the things that that I brought to her attention a couple of weeks ago, she was able to debunk within a matter of hours and give us an even better perspective on it. So it's really helpful to follow what she says. And then order her book, which, by the way, on the Amazon bestsellers list, she's already on three different lists as a pre-order, as a bestseller. So we're looking forward to the release of Panic Attack, which comes out May 25th by Broadside Books, and you're gonna be glad that you got a copy of that. Now, Dr. Sapphire, you every week have promised to give us some doctor's orders. What are the doctor's orders for us tonight?
Well, you know, I decided to do something a little bit different tonight as we are heading into springtime. And, you know, about 30% of adults and 40% of kids suffer from some sort of seasonal allergies. My husband and my youngest child are two of those people, and they have been absolutely miserable the last few
days. The green stuff is terrible this year.
Yeah, well, and now you add COVID-19 on top of that. And so people are very confused. So I just wanted to talk about seasonal allergies a little bit. First of all, you're not alone. A lot of people have it. If you get nervous because you're getting the sniffles, you're starting to sneeze or cough, and you're wondering if it's COVID, just pause for a second before you panic. If every time of year like this, you start feeling this way, it's probably not COVID. If you're really worried, go get a test. There's no harm in getting a test. But the truth is, if you have a history of seasonal allergies, that's probably what it is. Now, a study that was actually published last month showed that when there's higher pollen concentrations, like right now, there's actually higher COVID-19 infection rates. And that's probably because more people are sneezing and coughing and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, don't let your guard down yet. We are very close to that time of taking off our mask and herd immunity, but we're not quite there yet. But if you are one of these people who suffer from seasonal allergies, here are a couple of little tips. You probably already know them, but sometimes hearing them again just may jog your memory and help. If it's a windy day out, try and stay indoors if you can. The best time to go outside is really after a good rain because it's cleared the pollen from the air. You know, now is not the time for you to start going and doing the lawn work, the weed pulling. Ask someone else to do it or just let it overgrow. It's better than killing yourself. When you've been outside, you should consider removing your clothes before you come inside or even in your garage. Yes. Think about what you were doing in the early days of COVID before we knew about COVID, and you were kind of shedding your clothes so you wouldn't contaminate your house. Do the same thing. Keep that pollen outside. And
that makes so much sense, Dr. Sapphire.
And then go straight to the shower. Wash your hair.
Don't go out on windy days. Get those clothes off before you get in and get showered. And that helps you keep that green stuff off of you. Hey,
exactly.
Nicole, we'll see you next Wednesday. Thanks for a great night. It's Kevin McCullough. Tomorrow night, Arthur Idala. We talk legal stuff. See you then.